You're listening to the PCOS podcast, where I, Megan, understand how one condition can control your life but affect everyone differently. Not only have I controlled my own PCOS symptoms and transformed my body, I'm a certified specialist working with people just like you. I understand one approach doesn't suit all, and everyone needs a holistic plan to address their own private battles. I know what works. I want to lay the generic advice to rest and give you real, raw, and relatable content so you can get off the meds, out of the diet rut, and start working on yourself in a healthy and sustainable way. You'll hear my own private battles and successes and get detailed insight into how and what it involves so you can make the same positive changes towards the body you know you can achieve. Get ready for this episode of the PCOS podcast. Hi, it's Megs. As usual, I am the host of the PCOS podcast. I've had a little trouble talking today, so I have invited my co-host, Frankie, to sit with me today just in case. Now, you'll know which one Frankie is because if you have watched my Facebook or Instagram stories, he is the chihuahua that has the cone on his head. Now, we've reluctantly just started to accept that he is going to have that thing on for the rest of his life because if he doesn't have it on, he goes for his foot and he starts licking his paw and he gets an infection. And honestly, it's so sad, but he rocks the cone. I'm telling you now, he goes in and out the cat flap just like the other dogs and he just barges his way through if he wants to get somewhere. Honestly, he is definitely one of those like small dog, big personality type animals. So he's sitting nicely with me today because he's the good dog, and I will maybe have to hand over to him if I just can't English today. I don't know. We'll see how we go. Anyway, alcohol. I can already hear you secretly hoping that this is a podcast that I tell you that alcohol is fine to drink, it's not going to impact your PCOS, and you can continue living your life super dandy. Unfortunately, no. We know that consuming too much alcohol is no good for us. Some people say that certain alcohol is okay, and part of that is true, but part of it is rubbish. So I'm going to help you pull apart that one so you know how to understand it. And it's just another podcast where I'm going to give you the information that's going to help you in the big picture of you controlling your symptoms and having a body that fits into a dress size you've always wanted to, and you can stay that way. Cool. So let's jump into it. Back in my day, when I, in my late teens and mid-20s, I was a bit of a drinker. Like, I went through the usual phases where I started off having Red Cruises at school parties, then I went to rum, and then I went to Ouzo. I know, it's tragic, right? Ouzo. Could not drink it anymore. Anyway, then I went to vodka. Then it was whatever was on special at uni night. Then beer. Then I found Canadian Club. Then I went back to vodka, and you can probably throw champagne in between all that for good measure. I have had my fair share of booze in the past, let's be honest. During that time, I used to go out Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights. I'd go to work in between all that, of course, and I'd wake up Sunday still pissed. Mum would come in and wake me up, and I would get up, and we would go to the gym and do a workout. Because you can't skip the gym when you want to look hot, right? So then I'd come home and fall into a heap and just kick my feet up until I had to go to work on Monday. And I backed that routine up for quite a few years, hangovers and all. I was rotten on the inside though. My periods, look, they weren't that bad because I was on the pill, so I only ever had a period for 2 or 3 days. So let's just call it a fake period. But they were super painful. And I would get serious bloating like I was pregnant. So obviously those weekends were the ones where I'd wear my flowy dresses because no one goes out in skin tight dresses when you feel like a whale. And I was also really struggling with digesting food for a few days after the weekend. And I'd get indigestion and I'd either be eating everything in sight or I'd physically feel sick. So I knew that the hangover was gone, but my digestive system always took a few extra days to recover and come around. Over time, the Thursday nights, they dropped off, and then the Friday nights got a little bit earlier, and then it was just one big blowout on Saturday night. And I'd say on average, I would have anywhere from half to a full bottle of alcohol in one night easily. And I would probably go through a packet of cigarettes too, because I was a smoker back then. And I stayed with that routine for a while because I had this mindset that if I was so good with myself during the week, my diet was on point, I didn't miss a workout, that weekend binge was what I deserved for all my hard work. So I used to be the person who would get themselves that blind at a nightclub and we'd all go home through Macca's. You know that trip, right? And I'm not really a kebab girl. I was the Macca's was the thing for us. Anyway, we'd go out at 3 a.m. we'd be in the car driving through the drive-through, probably pissing off the designated driver, having the music up like so loud, yelling out our food orders through the Macca's drive-through. Oh, I'm having a Big Mac, a McChicken meal, apple pie, fries, I want a thick shake. Me, I was super hardcore. I was the one asking if they had yogurt tubs. Now, I'm not sure of my actual logic, but I always followed up with a 3 a.m. yogurt. And I would always follow my hangover up in the morning with a hair of the dog. And if you don't know what a hair of the dog is, and I'm not sure if it's an Aussie thing or not, but it is a drink that you have the morning after you wake up. And it's supposed to not make your hangover so bad. It's supposed to be somewhat bearable. So I'd have my hair of the dog. Then I would wait a couple of hours if we didn't go to the gym. And then I would take myself off to Kentucky Fried Chicken, which was considered my treat meal. So it was the drunken yogurt choice at 3 a.m., followed by a sober, hungover KFC chips that I would treat myself. And honestly, like I'm laughing now, and I honestly thought that those choices not to eat junk food at 3 a.m. was when I was off my face, were some of the best choices that I ever made for my health. But at the end of the day, my body, it just wasn't changing. During that time, in fact, I got worse, I got sicker, I got fatter. And no matter what I did through the week with food and exercise, and that was when I was exercising like 12 hours a week too, by the way, I was sabotaging my own hard work by drinking, staying up late, partying all night, and just generally not looking after my body at all for 3 days. And to be honest, I was always thinking, why am I not changing? I work so hard, nothing is going to work for me, right? So that was some of my old habits. Me now, I still love going out for a nightclub binge. I am a huge music buff. I love a dance, but now I am the designated driver and I'm the sober one on the dance floor. It is honestly very rare these days that I drink. And if I do, most of the time, I usually just get a bit over it after a few drinks and my stomach starts getting a bit queasy. And I know that my next period is going to be super painful. Plus, I can almost feel the pimples coming up through my chin and around my mouth. I like to think that now I am very in tune with my body. And it all comes down to a choice that I have made to be like that. And a choice that I've made to stop sabotaging my own health with alcohol. And now I'm that awesome friend who drops everybody home while they're trying to organize drunk Ubers and falling over doing so. So I'm the friend that gets you home with your handbag and with your phone and with all your clothes on. And I'm the friend that has made a decision to be like that. Anyway, that's enough about me. Let's talk about alcohol. So alcohol really isn't that bad for fat gain or slowing up the process of a body transformation. Well, let me tell you that alcohol, like the substance, not necessarily the mixes that you might put in them like Coke or sodas, the alcohol itself is quite powerful in that it works its way through the bloodstream and it stops your metabolism in its tracks. And your metabolism before you had a drink was very, very busy working on burning fat for you. That's what it does. Metabolism keeps you alive, it burns fat for you, and it makes you work like you're supposed to. So imagine your metabolism like a well-running body fat furnace. And alcohol is basically the fireman's hose. And as soon as you start consuming alcohol, you've turned the taps right on and you're putting out the fire. And consequently, your body stops burning fat. So now alcohol doesn't stop there. Alcohol is also a seriously good idea if you don't want to have any lean body shaping muscle on you whatsoever, because alcohol in its process also impairs muscle recovery and muscle growth as well. Now, some people might like to convince you that vodka
and the alcohol, it has no calories. And if you drink it with soda water or something like that, it won't impact your body. It's like a neutral liquid. Now, I am so sorry to break it to you girls, but this applies to any alcohol, even the vodka, lime, and sodas. Now, believe you me, I was just upset when I heard the news too. And it just comes back to me having to accept that the truth, honestly, it sucks sometimes. Now, booze of any type, let's not forget that it takes away your rational judgment. You are more likely to say, fuck it, fuck my goals, fuck eating healthy, I'm eating this. Because when you're drunk, you don't care about how you look, how your choices might then impact the future you. Alcohol gets into your brain and gives you this, it's only now that matters, and I want happiness now kind of mindset. And actually, you don't even need to be white girl wasted. Just a few drinks in will see you sitting at a party and you're more inclined to start reaching for the party food that the sober, focused, and more long-term goal-orientated you wouldn't normally have reached for if you were sitting there without any alcohol in your system. So don't be fooled by my yogurt decisions at 3 a.m., there's not too many people out there like me. And if you are somebody like me, honestly, I would love to hear from you. I used to get so much shit about having yogurts at, you know, God only knows what hour back in the day. Anyway, alcohol, it is great for convincing you that you're hungry. It sends you a signal to your brain that says, yes, you are hungry. And it increases your appetite. And the message is that you should be eating. So not only are you stopping the fat burning furnace from doing its job, you're then feeding it with food that it doesn't want or has been asking for. So it's not even taking into account any extra rubbish that you might have had, like sugar filled sodas in those premix spirits, or the wine, or all the wheat additives that are found in beer. So in all honesty, our body internally, it doesn't like to be under the influence, but it tells our brain that everything is better than fine, and drinking at the time is sounds like fun. And we know that our body doesn't like being under the influence because that's what hangovers are about. It's our body trying to slow you down so it can recover from the damage that you did to it the night before. So yeah, alcohol impairs fat loss. It stops your muscle recovery. It stops your muscles from growing. It negatively impairs your fat metabolism. And it puts you emotionally into a position where you make bad choices for yourself, whether it's with food, whether it's staying up later than you wanted to. And that explains why gyms are so busy on Mondays, because everyone is there trying to burn off the weekend just gone. And we know that that never works out in anyone's favor. Now, in terms of PCOS, alcohol is a fake substance and our body doesn't like fake stuff. So any fake products we put into it, whether it's from alcohol, medication, from illicit drugs or smoking, it's going to try and reject whatever you're putting into it. And what happens in a general sense is it stops trying to work on itself and it immediately turns to fixing the problem at hand, and that's protecting it against the damage of alcohol. So our body stops working on itself to fix its own problems, and it turns into a defensive mode to protect it from any more damage, which is honestly very awesome. Our body is cool like that. Even though our hangovers only last a day or so, alcohol stays in our body, the toxins of alcohol stay in our body a lot longer than we realize. Even if you only have two or three beers, you might be right to drive after an hour or so mentally, but that alcohol is still running through our system and it's running through our body on the inside for around 6 hours after our last drink. Now, if you go down the path of drinking all the time and you drink over and above that, or you're, even if you drink in smaller amounts, your body really has very little chance to work on being its best, and you're short-circuiting and basically removing a good 6 hours, if not more, out of your time that your body can spend working on itself to improve optimal health. So your body really has little chance to work on being its best, and any attempts that you put in through the week become all undone when you hit the bottle again or the next time that you have a drink. So alcohol is what we consider in the medical world as a metabolic blocker. Now, surely there has got to be something good to say about alcohol. And there is. There is definitely good things about alcohol, because when I am drinking, I am a fabulous singer and I am dancing. Like, I would take home the dance-a-thon trophy if it were up to me. And let's not forget that it gives you short-term confidence, because alcohol puts a layer of chemicals into your brain that makes you forget about you comparing yourself to others and how you perceive yourself against the rest of society. Now, we know that those three things aren't really real, but there are certain ingredients in alcohol that are good for us. And that's namely red wine. And the ingredients found in red wine is called resveratrol. So resveratrol is made up of compounds that include it to be an antioxidant and anti-inflammatory, and it has fat-burning agents. And those three things add up to us living a healthier and longer life. So this nutrient actually comes from the skin of dark red grapes, but the benefits don't come from the fresh grapes. It's actually once they've been fermented into the alcohol product that the active ingredient becomes most powerful. And the funny thing is here that the plant compound from the skin of the dark red grapes, once it's been fermented into alcohol that we call red wine, acts very similar in our body to estrogen. So it promotes natural hormone modulation in women, which is a good thing. Now, this ingredient in red wine is pretty unique, and it can be found in your fancy ass liquor distillery bottle from the fancy shop, or if you pour yourself a glass from your 10 buck chuck at the corner store. Now, for me, it doesn't really matter if the bottle is worth $10 or $110. Red wine still tastes horrible for me, so I don't drink it purely for that reason. But the more expensive your red wine is, the taste is supposed to improve, according to my mother, who is quite the avid red wine drinker. But the nutrient value stays the same because it's still undergone the same fermenting process. So that's not a great, let's swap a bottle of vodka for a bottle of red every night kind of deal. There is a fine line to walk in that you still want to reap the nutritional benefits, but without stepping into the metabolic disaster zone where alcohol is then working against you. Because red wine, even though it does contain some benefits, is still an alcohol product. So it's certainly a double-edged sword. So just be aware of that. The recommendation is that anywhere from 1 to 2 standard drinks 3 to 4 times a week is pretty much the sweet spot to promote better health. Now, remember, 1 to 2 standard drinks is usually a third of what you really pour for yourself, and anywhere up to 3 to 4 times a week. And I know that it slightly contradicts a few notions that I mentioned earlier, but if you stick to those guidelines, it's very easy for you to reap the benefits nutritionally. And those benefits will far outweigh any excess calorie intake you might have been worried about having. Now, I wouldn't want you to go away from this podcast thinking that red wine is like some magic fat burner that's going to take the edge off you. It's not going to yield any spectacular results like that. Yes, the findings are there, but they are only quite small in comparison to other alcohol types that have basically no nutritional benefits at all. So the big picture of you making good choices about yourself and the real fat burning results lay in what you eat every day and moving your body regularly, not by sitting on the couch watching Married at First Sight with a bottle of red wine. So that wraps up the good things about alcohol. The list is short because there's not a stack of benefits, but it's important to know what they are. Now, I also want to add, and I didn't think of this before, but I did just now. If you have decided that you want to cut back your alcohol intake and cash in on some of those positive changes like I have, it's not really something that you do overnight. I mean, you've got to do this slowly, because cutting anything out is going to make you feel restricted. So you're more likely to binge and go on a big weekend binge when you can't handle it anymore because you've been feeling too restricted. But most of all, let's not forget about exclusion, because let's face it, most of us drink when we're with friends or with people that we know. So you do have to learn how to socialize with your drunk friends when you're sober. And that is a skill, believe you me. And it is an emotional skill and an emotional conditioning that takes time. And I can almost, I can hear myself going into another discussion, which is easily another podcast episode on its own. Nonetheless, you've got to dig deep and understand that it's a decision that you're making for yourself. And yes, it won't be easy, but as with anything, all the good stuff and the rewards, they are earned by the effort that you put in. Now, that is definitely the end of this podcast, and I'm going to earmark this one to bring up again in future posts, because the mindset behind alcohol plays around for a lot of women, and there are so many angles you can tackle with this one. So that's a show for me, and I'm going to save that rant for another time. Thank you for listening. If you are still listening and you've liked this episode, please share it around. I would love it if you could show your appreciation and buy me a coffee. The link to do that is in the show notes, and it will show you how to buy me a coffee, and I'll be forever grateful. Anyway, I hope you have liked this episode. Please send me a question. Join us in the Facebook group, the PCOS Podcast, and I'll catch you in the next episode. Bye. Thank you for listening to the PCOS Podcast. Are you ready to share your success? Head over to my website for full access to the show notes, resources based on today's topic, other podcast episodes, and information on how I work with clients to change their lives. You'll find links to my Facebook group so you can share your story, hang out with me in general, as well as a group of other like-minded people just like you who are looking to achieve and maintain their body goals. You can find all this and more exclusively at pcospodcast.com.